You would, to Matthew chapter number 13. These Alaskan temperatures that we're experiencing are showing up in my throat, so we'll see if my voice holds up tonight. Lauren said when he got up here that his was about shot and wanted to know if he wanted to trade with me. He didn't like the full trade. He just wanted a partial trade. You know, trade off his part, but not trade my part to him. I don't know why people were so afraid to do this. Maybe I do know why. I noticed this morning that some Sunday school personnel were excited that next week is Substitute Sunday. Anybody volunteer? Matthew chapter number 13. Would you stand with me as we read from God's Word tonight? I have to confess to you that this is probably way too much material to get through in an hour or two. There is really a lot of preaching right here in this section. But you stay with me for a little while. I won't keep you that long tonight. Chapter 13 of Matthew, begin reading at verse number 1. The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Read verse 9 with me. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Drop down to verse number 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Pray that you would open it up to us. Pray that you would give your unworthy servant this evening the anointing that is necessary to speak clearly your words this evening. Anoint our ears, anoint our heart, that we might be receptive once again today. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The parable of the sower. Or you could call it the parable of the seed and the sower. What is a parable? We've heard that word if we've been in church very long. We've heard it the whole time we've been in church. The Gospels are full of parables. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. meaning that the teacher or the speaker was taking something of an earthly description and applying it to with a heavenly meaning. Jesus seemed to be good at that. He enjoyed teaching with parables. C.H. Dodd said of this particular parable, he said, at its simplest, the parable is a metaphor or a simile drawn from nature or common life, arresting the hearer by its vividness or strangeness, and leaving the mind in sufficient doubt about its precise application to tease it into active thought. I would like if this parable tonight would tease us, tease our mind into active thought, to think about what its application might be to each one of us individually, on a personal level, on a personal basis. There's six different components to this parable. There's four components that are really going to take up a lot of time. I would like to look at least at the first two components that are pretty much self-explanatory, pretty much easy to understand. They're both listed in the very first verse of the parable itself, verse number 3. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. First of all, we need to know that what he's sowing. It's a seed, right? I suppose that the majority of us here tonight understand what it is to plant a seed somewhere in the midst of our lives. Gardens, crop fields, whatever it may be. And we know that if we're going to plant seeds, we're going to have a good seed to plant. I went to a store one time to buy some seed for a food plot, of all things, for wildlife. Whatever kind of wildlife wanted to eat from it, it didn't matter to me. Preferably white-tailed deer or turkey. That was my preference in what was going to eat of that food plot. But I went and I saw that the date on that package of seed was last year's seed. Now, I'm smart enough to know that last year's seed isn't good enough or as good as this year's seed. So I talked to the manager of the store and said, this is last year's seed. Will you come down in your price? 5 pounds of seed, the price was $29.99. It's quite a bit of money for a little bit of seed. He said, no, we're not going to do that. I said, it's last year's seed. Germination is at 97% last year. What is it going to be this year? 60%? He said, no, we have enough faith in our seed that it is nearly as quality this year as it was last year, and he would not come down on the price of his seed. Maybe I wasn't so smart after all. Because he had confidence in the quality of that seed. He said, there's nothing wrong with that seed. It's going to grow just about nearly as well as it would have last year. But when we plant seed, we want to make sure we're planting some good seed. We want to make sure that what we put in the ground is going to come up. The seed and the sower. The sower went forth to sow. Now the parable here is telling us what that seed is. Doesn't necessarily come right out and tell us in this particular account, in Matthew's account here, but if you go over to Mark's account, it tells us in verse 14 of Mark 4, the sower soweth the word. If we go on over to Luke's account of this particular parable, verse number 11 of Luke 8 tells us, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. We've got to keep that in our mind as we look at the parable of the sower and the seed that he's sowing. That the seed that he is sowing is quality seed. It's not last year's seed. It's not the year before. It's not seed that's dated back in 0 BC when Christ was crucified. Because the fountain is ever flowing, the seed is ever effective. It's the Word of God. Now, if we understand that this is what the seed is in this account, the parable, the seed is the Word of God, then we don't have any reason for doubt of its effectiveness if it's used the way it ought to be used. Let's look here now at the sower. The story has been told of a father who was a very practical and a skillful farmer. He farmed back in the days when they put the seed in a bag, very similar to the time that they would have in this account in Matthew or Mark or Luke, back in the Bible days. Took the seed in a bag, draped it over their shoulder, and then reached in with their hand and drew the seed out and broadcast it on the ground. He had a young son who enjoyed tagging along with him even at a very early age and enjoyed being out in the fields with his father. And there were times when the father would even take a bag, a smaller bag, and drape it over his son's shoulder and fill it with seed and let him plant a small amount. If any of you know how it's done, you know what the end of the story is going to be. The boy just didn't have the strength to broadcast the seed quite as well as what his dad did. He didn't have the ability to swing his arm out there and spread that seed. And by the time he was bringing his hand back in, the seed was already gone. Been there, done that, and I'm not a kid. Planted some oats last fall for the deer. And after it grew, my son and I was in a tree standing. I noticed that it was sprouting up really nice, but I thought to myself, I may have even said something to him. I said, "Boy, you can see right where my hand swept. There's a plant there growing, or there's a bunch of plant growing there, and then there's none on this side. Then there's a few steps, and there's a stream of it there, and there's nothing back here. And you could just see right where my hand was going and where the seed went out too fast." That's what was going on with this little fella. He just didn't have the experience to make a nice even sweep and bring it in and around. The planting was all done. Time went on and the little boy was eager to see how his little field was going to produce. And sure enough, as the green blades began to come up through the soil, there was his dad's spread. It was nice and even. It was a beautiful spread of greenery. But there the little boy's was, like I was saying about mine, it had a thick spot of green here, and then there was brown soil here. Another step and a thick green spot here and brown soil here. But as the crop matured, the little lad realized that the heads on the top of the grain stems were just as full and just as nice as they were on the part that his dad planted. How could that be? Could it be that the young fellow was using the same kind of seed that his dad was? Spreading the seed, sure, it wasn't as nice or as neat, but it was still a seed and it still produced the crop that was necessary. As we look at this parable, there are six different factors involved. One of them is the sower, and the sower in the parable could be any one of us. And the seed in the parable is the Word of God. We may not all be able to broadcast the seed like our best preacher, our best evangelist, or the best Sunday school teacher that we have in our mind. We may not be able to do it the way that those people are able to do it. But the parable is the sower went out to sow. You and I, as the sower, have a responsibility that is a tremendous responsibility, a weight really, literally upon our shoulders to do the job of the sower. We don't have to be concerned about the quality of the seed. We take God's word and we broadcast that seed. This afternoon, as I was trying to bring my mind into this particular thought and in for this service, my mind was playing a little bit of tricks on me as to a song that I thought that I had heard someone sing. I asked my daughter if she was acquainted with it. She couldn't remember it, but then right before the service, I could picture, and I wish that the group would, if I'd have had more time, had them prepare to sing, would love to have had the Joyful Noise re-sing this song as I can picture them in my mind. Listen to the words of this song, and I believe that it goes for us today. The preachers are weary, the singers are tired. The church as we know it is losing its fire. Some of you have heard this, haven't you? And some are discouraged from bearing the load, but we must determine. I may have missed a word in there. We must be determined to keep pressing on. The second verse goes like this. So preachers keep preaching, singers go sing. Laymen keep sharing that Jesus is King. The angels have gathered surrounding the throne, and they'll start rejoicing for just one more soul. The chorus, oh, if just one more soul were to walk down the aisle, it would be worth every struggle, it would be worth every mile. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all if it rescues just one more soul. Do you have seed in your hand tonight? Oh, but the last time I broadcast some seed or I planted some seed, it didn't come back very well. I probably messed it up because I was stumbling and stammering around. I'm not a very good speaker. Preachers keep preaching, singers go sing. Laymen keep sharing that Jesus is King. We have the Word of God as the seed that does not wear out. It does not lose its potency from year to year. It is still effective today for the sower to broadcast or to plant even a single seed. I suppose that that's what makes the people that are involved with the Good News Club continue to press on in the midst of the potential discouragements that would be there. One more soul, if one more soul would come to know Jesus Christ. I suppose that's why the people who are involved with the nursing home services continue to go to the nursing home on Monday nights to have those services with people that sometimes it doesn't appear that they have any comprehension. They're not understanding. They're just there for a little bit of music, a little bit of sidetrack to the daily monotony, but somewhere along the line they're perhaps is a seed being planted. Because the seed that is being sown is the Word of God, and it does not return void. We can put it out there and God takes care of the rest. What was it that Paul said? I've planted, others have watered, but God gives the increase. Our responsibility is to take the seed. Oh, I don't have the form down. I don't have the ability. I don't know what to say. Telling them that Jesus is King. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. May God help us to sow the seed of His Word. It gets discouraging, no doubt. Maybe that's why Rodney Griffin wrote that song. Preachers are weary, singers are tired. The church, as we know it, is losing its fire. Some are discouraged from bearing the load, but we must be determined to keep pressing on. Oh, if just one more soul broadcast the seed. Let's stand together tonight.